Pathway to Promise podcast, episode number 39, with Matt Crump, how to become a purveyor of hope.
The worst surgery I ever had in my life was the brain surgery. It was the worst. And I could understand when people go through things like that, how they would want to kill themselves.
I'm Bill McConnell from BillMcConnell.me, author of Conquer What's Next. Thank you for listening to the Pathways to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller, living your life with peace, prosperity, and purpose.
You're on the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. Brad believes every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that you must have a plan and a guide to get there. The Pathway to Promise podcast not only is your guide through the wilderness of depression and disappointment that stand between you and your promised life, but also brings you insights and direction from inspiring, successful thought leaders who have transformed their lives. Welcome to the Pathway to Promise. Now, here's Brad.
Hello, good people, and welcome to the Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller. It is my pleasure and privilege to welcome you here today to our episode number 39, where we are going to be talking about hope and hope to overcome some adversity in your life, how to be a purveyor of hope. Well, for special guests with us, Pastor Matt Crump will be sharing with us some practical tips on how to have hope in your life in the midst of some really debilitating adversity. So we're about here at the Pathway to Promise podcast, helping you have practical tools, practical stories, practical means which to overcome whatever adversity is facing your life. That's what I'm about in my ministry and in my writing and in what I'm all about. And we're here to be helpful to you to overcome adversity. We can be helpful to you in lots of ways. You can check out our website, pathwaypromise.com. And there, among other things, you can find a resource for you, which has to do with my upcoming book, The Promise Given Life, Your 40-Day Way to Your Life of Peace, Prosperity, and Purpose. It's a worksheet, and it's about 4 pages long, and it's called Your 4-Minute Way to Frame Your Day for Success. Head on over there and get that downloadable resource, that worksheet, and you will find it helpful to start and end your day successfully. Okay, great to be with you here today, and our guest today is Matt Crump. Matt Crump has had his share of challenges in his life, and he is now in a good place. What he says he wants to be in his life is he wants to help people to overcome their biggest life obstacle so they can regain their freedom and reclaim purpose to create a meaningful life. You're going to hear how he did just that, with overcoming just a tragic life circumstances in many ways, including a debilitating health issue that he was able to overcome. And now he has the website, which is called godsgotthis.love, where he calls himself a purveyor of hope, where through his story and through his online magazine and through his books and his writing and his mission and ministry, he is here to be helpful to you to overcome whatever circumstances you have in your life, as he has in his, in order to live a life that's filled with hope. Great message here for today. Let's get into our interview with Matt Crump from godsgotthis.love right now. Back on the Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller, it is our pleasure, as always, to seek to help persons to understand that they all have a God-given life of peace, prosperity, and purpose that helps them overcome adversity and achieve this peace in their life. And we're glad to have you with us here today. And today we have just a great guest with us who's done a lot of what we're talking about here, overcome adversity, to have hope in his life and to be able to share that with others. He is from Matt Crump Ministries, hashtag God's Got This. His name is Matt Crump. Matt, welcome to Pathway to Promise.
Hey, thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited to be here.
It is awesome to have you here. And my audience probably can't see you, but I want them to get on your website eventually and see this awesome, awesome beard you got, my man. It is really...
They have to. I've got so much work involved with this thing. They need to look at it, you know?
You got to get over there to God's Got This. Or what's your website again? Is Matt Crump.com?
God's godsgotthis.love.
godsgotthis.love. You need to get over there and check him out. Lots of cool stuff on this website. It's all about his story, though. It's about his story that Matt had, which is an awesome story of hope in the midst of challenges, of adversity, of things in his life. So, Matt, I got to say a lot about you, but let's hear from you. Just tell us a little bit about your story, about how you got through some really rough patches in your life and created Matt Krupp Ministries and God's Got This.
Thanks. Thanks, Brad. Yeah, I could probably talk for five podcasts right now. I feel like a cat. I feel like I've had at least nine lives so far. He's really brought me through so much. I think probably where I would start would be most recent in my life. Backing up, I've been a follower of Christ for a little over 30 years, and I don't claim that I have arrived in perfection at all, but I'm working on it.
Absolutely. On to perfection, right?
I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. I think, you know, back in 2011, I had to go in for a hernia surgery, had a botched surgery, and had to go back to Duke to get worked on, and that's when a doctor looked at me and my wife said, "Will you just look at my husband's back?" She looked at it and said, "Oh, we can't do the surgery if that's looked at." And found out I had melanoma cancer.
Oh boy.
Had a couple of surgeries, and fast forward a few months, they said things looked good. I was all clear. Started doing my follow-up visits every 6 months, then to a year, and then finally after about 3 years, it was over. And they thought I was good. So I just went on with my life. 2015. I ended up on stage at church, getting ready to lead worship, started coughing, and started coughing up blood.
That's not good. That's not a good sign.
No, I said, well, this is different. I went through and did worship, got it all done, and then I'm pigheaded, just like I was the first time with my back stuff. So I just went back to church, went back to work on Monday, and started having some problems, started having some headaches, and I went back to the house, and that night we went out with the family, came home, and all I remember was the next day. Evidently, that entire night, my family, we always got together and prayed, and they all came together. Well, we all prayed together, talked together. Everything's cool, except I don't remember any of it.
Oh, my goodness. Existed.
I remember coming home from dinner, and that was it. The next day, I started seeing flashes, lights, and everything.
So you were kind of a blackout state or something like that? Or what was going on?
I was having seizures, and I blacked out.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't know that either, so I ran to the hospital. This is after I'd already been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It was in my adrenal gland down by my leg, and I had a lung tumor. So I drove up to the hospital, and it was a 45-minute drive. I went to my wife works at a hospital, so I went there to her place instead. They did some work on me, and the doc came in, and she said, "Well, I've got bad news for you." And I said, "Okay." She said, "Well, you have a bleeding brain tumor, and the ambulance is on the way. We're going to rush you to Duke." And I thought it was kind of a joke, because they work with Robin. That was kind of funny. I was like, "Okay." She goes, "No, I'm serious. This is bad. You have to go right now."
Oh my goodness!
And wow, it was crazy. Yeah, it might have been an expletive or two at that moment.
Don't blame.
Yeah. Yeah. We were scared and went, and I had the surgery within a day or two, and the recovery was the worst surgery I ever had in my life was the brain surgery. It was the worst. And I could understand when people go through things like that, how they would want to kill themselves.
Oh my
and
goodness.
That is, it's crazy. And people, you know, they talk about, you know, in the Christian world, some folks think if you commit suicide, you go to hell and all this stuff. I've kind of rethought that process over my life. I think there's definitely consequences for things, but sometimes people, they just aren't thinking right. Things just go crazy and you just don't know. I mean, God's the judge, right? But I mean, I was to the point where I wanted to kill myself. I thought I couldn't handle the pain anymore. I thought it was over. I was ready to say goodbye to my kids and I just couldn't handle it. But God. So he really started speaking life to me and encouraging me. And I had friends that were encouraging me. And that's where that hope button kind of kicked in. I'd already been saying God's got this at this point. So now I had people telling on me, coming by to tell me, "Well, you know, God's got this. You know, God's got it." I'm like, "Oh my God, I wish I'd never have said that in the first place." Right. But
all right.
I did. And what it did was it brought a great accountability in my life. And that accountability was what gave me some strength to push in and to make my fight. And That hope that we have on the inside, I tell people all the time when it comes down to happiness and joy, that's one of the things I was really needing because I felt very depressed. I was on a lot of drugs, a lot of medicine, and the medicine was really messing with my head. And I felt like I understood the difference between happiness and joy at that moment. So happiness, there's happiness and unhappiness, but in the dictionary, there's no such thing as unjoy. Right. So
that's awesome.
Happiness is an emotion. And I felt like, wow, okay, there's no unjoy. And joy is a gift of the Spirit of God. He's already in me. That means I have joy. So I had joy, even though I was in a bad situation, even though things could go sour, I still had this joy. And that joy really was what welled up inside of me. And one of the byproducts of that was happiness. I started getting happy.
Yeah.
I started writing songs again, started digging into life. And before you know it, I'm running 120,000 miles an hour again, like a little squirrel that I am. So that really is what gave me some strength at that point in my life to really move into what God's got me doing right now.
And now you are a purveyor of hope. And I just, I love that terminology.
Well, thank you.
What does it mean to you to be a purveyor of hope for others?
Well, that's a good question. I never really had thought of the word, didn't even go through my mind in the past. And it really just popped in my head one day. It was the Lord totally. Mm-hmm. I'm just not that good. So I had to look it up in the dictionary and I thought, oh my God, this is me. It's a person who's just somebody who really, really is transformed and really pushes into people's lives and helps them to get to that place, right? It's somebody who purveys, someone who digs in, who strives, who moves forward, who has passion about it. That's me. And my biggest thing at that point was hope. I mean, I've always been a type of guy who wants people to have hope, to experience that there is more, there can be more. Look at me. I'm dying and I still have joy. I still have hope.
Sure.
And I believe that somehow, some way, I'm going to survive. If I don't, I'm with Jesus. The worst thing for me is saying goodbye to my kids and my wife, right? But at that point, I felt like they all know what's going on. My daughter, she says to me, which kind of bums me out a little bit, but she says, well, Dad, you know, whether you live or die, it's okay. I know where you're going to go, so I'm not really worried about it. I'm like, no, you need to feel bad about it. You need to tell people that.
That sounds like appropriate guilt here, huh?
I don't want my dad to go. No, she's just like, no, I know where you're going, Dad. So I think it's powerful to have even some of that legacy already working in my family's life, and my daughter goes after it. She's an evangelist at heart. My son's
awesome.
Coming up in his faith. He followed Christ too, but he's finding his own. So anyway, that's one of those things that people always ask me, how do I do what I do? Why do I do what I do? Help me do this. Can you help me do that? And I thought, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's who I am. I'm a purveyor of hope, right? Well, actually, that's not who I am. That's an identity question. My identity is that I am a child of God. I'm a follower of Christ, right?
That is awesome.
The byproduct of that is I get to do things. I get to be a pastor. I get to be a worship leader. I get to be a speaker. I get to be an author. I get to be a songwriter. I get to do these interviews. Like I get to do all this kind of stuff. I get to be a purveyor of hope. Those are things I do. But who I am is a follower of Christ. I am a child of God, and he tells me who I am. That's my identity. So if you lose certain things, that's what helped me to feel like if I die, I'm okay, because my identity is not wrapped up in those things. I can't go there. So that's a big difference.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now you have a sense of purpose and direction and meaningfulness in your life, whereas if you chose to, you could let, you know, that cancer diagnosis and all the pain of the brain surgery, that could beat you up and put you down and out. And the thing is, it does for a lot of people, doesn't it, Matt? A lot of people have a sense of meaninglessness.
I have to make the choice. I have to overcome adversity. And we have an adversary. So he will do things to try to distract and destroy. So things will happen that comes across my path to make me think about stuff. I could think about death. I could think about leaving, whatever. And the other adversary we have, I know a question you've got coming my way. I'm skipping ahead to another answer, but
I
gotta say, is that we have two adversaries really in life. The two biggest things, Satan, of course, and me. We are our worst adversary. We are the most evil things on the planet, right? We need a transformation through Christ to be changed from good to bad, a new creation, right? But our nature in itself is sinful, evil. We want to do bad things. We want what we want. So I have to overcome myself too, which is one of the biggest obstacles I have.
What were some of the things you did? What are some of the bold actions you took to overcome yourself and to push back against the evil one? What are some of the things you did?
Yeah, I think, accountability and personal relationships, they're vital. When people have a vested interest in you, it really becomes intentional transformation at that point. It can be like an iron sharpening iron scenario. It could be a mentor, somebody that's pouring his or her life into you. So I'm all about this. I'm all about this. If I don't have to take the long road or the wrong road, show me how to do it. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
We always have an adversary. He'll do anything, like I said, to destroy us, to take us to a different area. But if you live from a posture of confidence and faith and accountability and love and all those types of things, it'll propel you into another area of life that you're not in when you succumb to the other stuff. It's like there's an old song that came out a long time ago, and it says, "Some glad morning when this life is over,
yeah,
I will fly away." Okay, I think that's the craziest song on planet Earth. I'm sorry to offend everybody. Here's the deal. I don't want to wait to start flying. I was promised abundant life, and it wasn't for the by and by.
Yeah.
It's for right now on this planet. I can enjoy life, right? So people say, "Matt, I hear you're dying of cancer. Doctor says you've got 8 months to live. You're dying of cancer." Okay, I don't choose to die of cancer. I choose to live life.
Yes.
And there's a big difference. It's a mindset and a decision. And I've made a decision that I'm going to live life. I'm going to live life to the last breath I take. Whether I die of cancer, whether I die of a bus hitting me, whether I die because I'm 175 years old, my God, that'd be crazy. But
well, that's living abundantly, man. Way to go.
That's abundant life. That's how you do it. It's jet fuel. Those relationships, those accountabilities, those moments is a jet fuel to transformation. It really helps you to overcome adversity.
In order to do that, you have to be empowered. And I take it, you know, we've talked a lot about faith already, but you are empowered by your spiritual life, by God in your life. That's given you a sense of your purpose and direction. Just say a little bit more about your spiritual life, about God's place in your life, and how that empowers you to do some of the things you've been doing to be helpful to others, helpful to others.
Sure. I told you about the whole nine lives thing a minute ago, which I have to write down because I never said that before.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Write that one down, man.
I like it. It's funny. But it's true. Before I knew Christ, I really didn't know much about him at all. I wasn't raised a Christian. I didn't go to church when I was a kid. A couple visits here and there, but nothing, intentional and serious. And I ended up into a life of drugs, alcohol, women, the whole scene. And, I loved it until I got to a certain point where I just felt like I needed more, didn't know what it was. I couldn't get drunk anymore. I couldn't get as high anymore. All these issues. I wasn't satisfied with the relationships anymore, just whatever. And somebody talked to me about Jesus, ended up getting stuck in the desert. I was in the military, and we were in the desert and got assigned on guard duty for all of the tanks in the middle of the desert for 1 week, me and one other guy. And the one other guy was a follower of Christ, and I was not. So, and he was also a former drug addict.
So God kind of trapped you there, sounds like, huh?
He trapped me good. And I got a lot of great information, life poured into me while I was out there. I did not make a decision to follow Christ while I was out there that week. But a few days later, we were back out to a mission. And at that mission, I just could not stop thinking about everything he said. It's like everything was on blast in my head. I heard every word he was saying over and over and over again. I was ready for a relationship. I wanted things changed. And I went to his vehicle. I said, "Man, let's do this. I'm ready." And he took me, and we started walking away from all of our unit. And we walked up to this big mountain in the desert. And we got to the top of the mountain. It was literally, I don't know if you've ever been in the desert before at nightime, it's gorgeous, but we got to the top of the mountain. It was a full moon, and the moon was beaming right down to the peak of the top of this mountain. And we stood there, and that's where I gave my life to Christ. So I literally have had a mountaintop experience with Jesus. I can say that. And he changed me instantly. I was a drug addict, alcoholic, womanizer, did all those types of things, smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. Instantly, everything that I had in my life that was those addictions, those problems was gone. Gone.
That is awesome.
And it was amazing. Now, there was a hole there because there was a lot of stuff that I had going on. And, you know, God's pretty smart. He's got some things figured out. He's way better than we are. And that's another little statement I can make. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? Right. So it's not like he's.
That's another good one. I like that one.
Yeah. It's not like he said, I don't know what to do here, Matt. Let me figure this out. Now, he already knew what's going on. Right. So he gave me a new addiction. Basically, I just could not get enough of the Bible. I was reading. I was writing songs and all these kind of things. And that was really a core moment for me and my faith with Christ that he really poured into me. And I gained so much from him during that period of my life. I wish that sometimes I can go back to that moment and be that good. I'm not as good as I was then. I try.
Well, you have to come off the mountain sometime, don't you?
Oh,
you
yes,
get into the real world, and
that's
you
right.
kind of had your burning bush experience, and now here you are doing some other stuff.
That's... Yeah, he's given me so many great opportunities. I've been in the ministry almost immediately when that happened. Mm-hmm. I was a white boy in an all-black church. I was the only white boy.
Okay.
And they let me do the announcements. So I got to start off in the announcement ministry. It was pretty powerful.
There you go.
I had it all down. Lord, I said, today, it's a day at 12 o'clock. We're going to have lunch today at 12.
All right. You had the cadence down and the call and response mm-hmm. stuff down, all that good stuff, huh?
It was good. That's where it all started. And then
awesome.
It just went there. So thank God.
Sound like you had a pretty powerful relationship with your buddy in the Army or your military, and then you had these relationships in the church you're part of. Tell me
the
about
pastor. Let me move in with him. It was great. I moved in with the pastor right when that happened.
Well, I just want to talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about the power of relationships.
Sure.
And about how the power of relationships, whether it be, you know, family relationships or friends or influencers or things like this, the power of relationships to help people overcome adversity, help people to have true life change, to have hope as a source of hope. Tell me about relationships.
Yeah, I think starting off with that moment, I learned the value of relationships. I'd had some in my past. I didn't offer myself to too many relationships while I was growing up, I guess. I was an angry kid and didn't have a very good home life. A lot of it was my fault. But so I wasn't really good at relationships. I had some people that were close to me, but not, you know, I didn't understand the depth of it. Until I moved in with the pastor, mm-hmm. and I consider him my spiritual father. He passed away, unfortunately, not too long ago, but he was a powerful influence in my life. So we lived together. We ate together. We prayed together. We worshiped together. We were together, and he could tell things that were going on in my life and be able to offer suggestions and help and hope during those moments. And we'd had some phenomenal conversations that really were really fundamental in shaping the who of me in my walk with Christ. You know, mm-hmm. I've learned a lot of things over the years, but it was definitely that moment that he helped me do some things, which helped me understand the value of relationships. And now I value it so much. We have people around our home all the time. We've got people that we've always had somebody live with us. My wife and I, we've always had a home big enough to have somebody else because we just feel like it's important to pour into people's lives. And at times we want to be alone. You like to walk around in your underwear once in a while, but
you know, that's a visual. That's a visual image I could have done.
For the most part, we have always had somebody.
Yeah, I love the beard, man. But though you gave me a visual image, I could just do without, there, my man. So
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's a boxer's, not briefs. So anyway,
good. I feel better now.
it's much easier. It's like shorts.
Yeah.
But that's when I understood the value of relationship, and definitely the core of the difference between religion and relationship. Obviously, you're a follower of Christ. You understand what I'm saying. But I really learned that religion is really what put Jesus on the cross and killed him. But it was relationship that allowed him to stay there. He could have come off the cross.
Sure.
But it was the relationship that kept him there. And that's powerful. I want to be a person that has that kind of relationship with people. I want to offer that kind of relationship to people. I can only go so far because I'm human. He's the best at it. So for me to be able to introduce people to him and then allow him to work through me as he lives in me, as he lives in you, as we do things, you know, he can only do something through us if he first does something in us, right?
So that's awesome.
Because he did something in me, now he can do something through me. And I'm so thankful that he took an idiot like me and he's using me to bring transformation in this world. I'm flawed. That's the crazy thing is that I've got flaws. I've got issues. I've got problems. I pray. I repent. I do all those things. And he still uses me. His grace is so amazing. And I'm so thankful for what is able to do through me and how he's brought transformation in my life and now to other people.
Yeah, that's awesome. I just love the primacy of grace that you're talking about there, because without that, man, we're lost. I know I'm nothing. And you're despite of your underwear and your beard, you're not much either without the grace. And so, but yeah, you got some cool stuff that you're offering to people. And I was interested in what kind of things you're doing now to live this out, this life of hope and of grace and of peace. What are some of the disciplines that you have, or some of the things you offer on your website? What are some things that you are helping to speak this word of hope into people's lives?
Sure. I guess the first part you said, discipline, most important thing is my personal relationship with Christ.
Right.
If I don't maintain that discipline in my life, then nothing else is going to work. So I need to spend time with him, not because I have to, because I want to. I've learned a long time ago that I don't have to punch a clock with Jesus. I don't have to read X amount of chapters a day and pray X amount of minutes a day to be good before his eyes, because I'm no good. I'm his son. Mm-hmm. He loves me, and any time is good. So I value that with him, and he speaks in my life. So I have a chance to read his word, to do studies, to share things with people that he speaks to my heart when that happens. And he empowers me with faith, with knowledge, with confidence that I can share with other people. So, and as a result of that, I was able to move into a different area of my life, which is, this is pretty tough. I've been a pastor for almost 30 years. And about a year, well, let's see here, 2016, 2 years ago, May, I really felt like when they told me that I had 8 months to live, I didn't get scared like I was going to die. A little bit I did. But the mm-hmm. biggest thing that happened to me at that point was, if I die in 8 months, if I'm dead, do I feel that I have accomplished what I'm supposed to accomplish while I'm here on this planet? And I felt at that point that the answer was no. And it blew my socks off. So I prayed about several things that I wanted to do for God. And are these ideas, where do you want me to go, Lord? Right. I was a pastor. I could stay at the church I was at. I could put my name in the hat and go pastor someplace else and move somewhere. I could follow my singing career and follow through those things and do singing. I wrote all the time so I could write a book. I have a desire to be with people all the time. I've had many businesses, and I had to shut down my last business because of the cancer, and it stopped my opportunity to have an influx of people coming to me that I could talk to all the time. As you can tell, I like to talk.
Sure.
So I thought, here's what I'll do. I'll do a food truck. I thought that would be a good calling.
Now that's a new one. I love it, but that's a new one.
It's awesome. I was going to do a food truck. I was going to cook, because I love to cook, and I get to talk to people and get paid. I thought, this is awesome. I'm going to do that, right?
Yeah.
My wife didn't like the idea, so that one got shot down.
There you go.
So in the line of all that stuff that happened, one day I email people, do things all the time. I sent an email to a few publishing companies trying to get some ideas of what's the steps to start writing a book. And I got a phone call from a gentleman. And within a matter of a few minutes, he had heard my story and said that he really wanted to pour into me and that I needed to write this book. And that's when the book For God's Got This was born. And within a matter of a couple of months, I had resigned from the church. I just felt as if I needed to take – I'm weaker now. My body is weaker. I only have the ability to do so much during the day. I have chronic fatigue. I've got pain issues. I've got all kinds of stuff as a result of the cancer. So I didn't think that I could be effective as a pastor and give everything I needed to do at the church and the book and pour my heart and life into that and then possibly go around and speak. So I made a choice to step down. And over that period of a year, God has really been changing me and preparing me for something else. So everything I've been through my entire life gets to this point now with this new ministry called Hashtag God's Got This. And the new book coming out, obviously God's Got This, has some tools in there that help people to identify moments in their life that God may have been speaking to them about something. They'll identify what that was that God was speaking and find out how that is can give them hope and transformation in their life. We can work through a worksheet and the tools that I provide to help to reveal those moments in their life. I call it Hope Revealed. It gives them a chance to be I'm sorry, my speech is jacked up once in a while. I apologize. It gives them a chance to walk in their transformation, to own what God's done in their life. Yeah. It's powerful.
Well, Matt, give us an example of how that might work. If someone was going to read your book or to apply your principles here to their life, let's just say that they are going through a divorce or some other bad thing in their life. What are some things that they could apply from your book and for your from your God's Got This process here?
Well, I can give you how much longer do we have?
I'm good, man.
All right. So here's a little story I'll use as an example. In the book, I wrote a chapter when I was 8 years old. So we'll do a Cliff Note version of this. For the young people out there listening, Cliff's Notes is the way you cheated in school. So anyway, Cliff
before you Googled it, you had to go to Cliff Notes.
Yeah, there was no internet. So we bought Cliff Notes. All right. So Cliff Notes is a little book that basically outlines the big book. All right. Now you know. All right. Yeah. So the Cliff Note version is. What was I talking about in the first place?
When you're eight years old, yeah. You had something happened to you. Yeah.
And I decided one day that it was fall and I wanted to build a birdhouse. So I've always been a dreamer. I'm always this creative dreamer kind of guy. So I decided to go out there and build a birdhouse. So I go out to the garage and I found some wood. And I didn't see a saw or anything, but I found Dad's toolbox. And inside Dad's toolbox was this little hammer about maybe 8 inches long. And one side had a hammer head on one side. And it was an axe head on the other side. I thought axe, wood, birdhouse, right? So here I go. I start building the birdhouse. I get my piece of wood, get it lined up. My 8 year old mind, right? I'm getting where I want to cut. And I start whacking away at this thing. Well, there's only one thing that was a hindrance between me whacking away at this wood.
I got a feeling of what's coming on. But keep going, man.
It was my index finger.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah. And I slammed right into my hand and busted it wide open. And I put it in my mouth and I'm running to the house and my little sister was in there and I told her to be quiet. I didn't want to get in trouble. I'm looking for Band-Aids and I'm bleeding everywhere. Get into the bathroom. I'm got into the sink, blood everywhere. I got toilet paper all over it and I couldn't find a Band-Aid to save my life. Yeah. Finally, my mom hears all the commotion. She comes up. She goes nuts. She calls my dad. I think I'm going to die today. This is the day I'm dying. It wasn't going to be the birdhouse. My dad's going to kill me.
There you go.
So go to the hospital, get the stitches, right? Go backing. All right. So that's a story that happened in the book. Fast forward. There's a guy in the Bible in the Old Testament. His name was Saul, and he was a king. And he went to battle this one time. He did a lot of battles, and he used to win a lot of times. But he went out to this one battle. And as he was preparing for the fight, the enemy, the Philistines, were coming. And they had thousands and thousands of people lining up out there to fight in this battle. And Saul had like 3,000 people or something like that, right? So he had this little army. They had this huge army. But Saul's thinking, no big deal. God always gives us the victory anyway. So we'll just go down there and kick the butts and go home. No big deal. So what happened was the soldiers started thinking a little differently than Saul. They said, Saul, you realize there's like 30,000 people down there, right? He's like, yeah, no problem. So overnight, like everybody went AWOL. Everybody's gone. They're only left with like 300 people, right? Got a few people. So Saul's like, crap, what are we going to do? So Saul gets up there and he says, all right, what we have to do is go to fight, but we got to wait because Sam's supposed to show up before we can go out. Sam's this guy, this prophet Samuel, and Samuel's supposed to pray over Saul and give the Lord's word before he goes out and fights. So Saul's sitting there, he's thinking, well, Sam's not here. It's getting later. We've got to fight this battle. He says, I know what I'll do. I know exactly how Samuel's going to pray. I know he's going to say, I'll do the prayer. And then we'll go get the Lord's blessing and go fight, right? So Saul's like, Lord, give us the victory, blah, blah, blah. He starts praying and goes, in the name of, just when he's getting ready to wrap it up, in the name of, oh my God, he looks and guess who's there? Sam shows up on the scene. And yeah. Sam says, what in the world are you doing? You know you went out of order. This is not the way it's supposed to happen. Now you're going to lose everything you had. Your kingdom is over. It's done, right? So what had happened was Saul decided to build the birdhouse. Okay. He didn't want to wait for Dad to come home with the saw and help him to build the thing and do it right. Instead, he wanted to push forward, do his own thing, do his own agenda, not wait, not listen, not have patience, right? So what the Lord did for me was I had a chance to reflect on that moment. I had a chance to receive some thought process and teaching from the Lord and a chance to move forward in my life, realizing that, wow, that story back then has taught me that I need to learn how to have patience, how to listen, how to wait for certain things to happen, that I don't want to rush it, but I can do things the way God wants me to do. And it was a moment in my life that brought some transformation. It's a God's Got This moment. So the book is full of stories like that. And there's a whole chapter about the tools that I'm talking about, reflect, receive, respond, for the three tools about God's Got This moments. And there's a journal at the end of every chapter that will help people to go through what story I gave them to find their own help them to think of their birdhouse moment, their whatever moment, and they can go through the tools that I provide to help them think of their aha moment, their kairos, their wow, this, I can't believe that that's what really happened in my life and what that meant, right? So it's really fun.
That is awesome.
It's really awesome transformation, right?
That's good. And that's going to be helpful to people, and that book will be coming out before you know it, and we'll put connections to your book in our show notes. But one of the things we do here in the Pathway to Promise, we would like to talk about living a life of peace and prosperity and purpose. So I just want to ask you, Matt, what brings you peace?
Well, great question. Short answer, God.
Okay, good.
It's kind of a cop out for some folks, I realize, but he is peace himself. He is peace. He is love. And to have him in my life, I don't know how I would have peace without him. I told you that moment where I was kind of out of my mind with the drugs that I was on, got all depressed and all those things were happening. I had an element of me that was still sound enough to say, snap out of this, Matt, what are you doing? And that was the Holy Spirit. That was the Father. That was God in me. That was the peace of the Lord, the love of God that was bringing life to me that I would not have had without him. And he does that over and over and over again in my life.
That's awesome.
I know when I don't have peace, if I don't have peace, that's a big difference too. So
he
definitely provides that to me.
That's great. How would you define prosperity?
Well, I think prosperity obviously is way more than finances. I consider prosperity a healthy life with family and friends that you love. I believe that that is great wealth. I believe that's prosperity. I believe when you have those things in order, when that life pattern is established, and you know, one of these other things I'm getting ready to teach is called the flip, which talks about faith, legacy, identity, and purpose. When you have those four things established in your life, it opens the doors for incredible things to happen in your life. It opens the doors for prosperity in finances, with business and life. I think it's important to control your money. My wife and I worked very hard for many, many years to become debt-free, and we are. My wife teaches financial peace now, and we have a chance to pour that in other people's lives. So, you know, one of the things that Dave Ramsey always says, if you want to live like you've never lived before, you got to live like you've never lived before.
That's right.
And it's a choice, right? And I feel like to be able to be prosperous in those areas and to go after your dreams. I'm a dreamer. I'm an entrepreneur. I want to do a business and other business plans that I have. And God opens those doors for me to be able to walk in those businesses. Even in the ministry, in this nonprofit organization that we have now with Matt Crump Ministries, he's opened up some incredible doors for me to do what he's calling me to do and equip me to be able to do it. It, you know, you can't do it for free, right? So
sure.
He has to provide a way,
that's awesome.
That's just what he does.
That's
you
got
to follow. Got to follow where he goes, and he'll provide with it.
Matt, what's your purpose?
My purpose is to live for him.
Yeah,
that's the only reason I'm here, and he gives me all kinds of ways to do that while I'm on this planet. But ultimately, the only reason I'm left here, I could have been dead so many times, Brad. I could have been dead in bad drug deals. I could have been dead while I was in the Gulf War. I could have been dead in accidents with car accidents where I almost went off the road into trees. I could have been dead so many ways with cancer already. Could have killed me several times. I'm already told I'm supposed to be dead. I'm a dead man walking. So, you know, I mean, he gives me life, right? So his purpose is in me to live for him. And I want to do the best I can to do that.
Absolutely. Well, we are certainly enjoying you living out your purpose through Matt Crump Ministries, #God's Got This. We look forward to hearing more from you. And if people want to understand what you're up to these days, Matt, how can they get a hold of you? How can they learn what you're up to, what you're working on? Tell us, how can people make a connection with you?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Thanks for that opportunity. It's very simple. You can go to godsgotthis.love. And when you get there, within a couple of moments, the little screen will pop up and ask you to subscribe to our mailing list. And when you do that, we have a magazine that comes out once a week called Hope Revealed. And Hope Revealed is a small e-zine that goes over the ministry that we offer to everybody for free every week. Kind of has a theme for every week. So this week's theme actually is why. So on Monday, you get the magazine. Tuesday, we have a podcast called Hope Revealed. And on Wednesday, we have a YouTube show called #God's Got This Stories. It is it's video stories about people's lives and transitions about their God's Got This moment, whatever that situation was. Some great stories on our YouTube channel. Thursday is the God's Got This blog. Friday is another YouTube show called God's Got This Meaningful Moments, where we wrap up the week. So we have all kinds of ways for people to get connected, great resources on the website, and several things besides the book, which is getting ready to come out. I'm so excited about that, that some other resources that are coming out now that are just going to be so exciting and bring such transformation into people's lives. We're stoked. So you can get all that information through the website, godsgodless.love.
Well, we look forward to doing that. We'll put the connections to all that on our website, pathwaypromise.com. And it's been our honor and pleasure. And I'm just jacked up to be able to spend some time with Matt Klump and his Matt Klump Ministries. God's got this. Thanks, Matt. What an awesome conversation we were able to have right now with Matt Klump from godsgotthis.love. I hope that you'll check out his website. Lots of great resources there for you. And I hope that you'll see that whatever circumstances you find yourself in, that that you can overcome it. You can overcome whatever adversity you have in your life. That's what we're here to do here at Pathway to Promise, to help you overcome adversity. We all have it. Matt described how he had, you know, some really had a life that was kind of lost and messed up until he found faith and he found spiritual direction in his life. And that was also the foundation of how he was able to overcome, you know, a terrible diagnosis of a terrible disease of cancer. And he's able to do that in his life. And just to touch on a couple of things that happened with him, some key points here. He believes that there was a time in his life when he was lost in so many ways and that he was understood that it was a mountaintop experience when he was in the military, when he was kind of stuck out there in the wilderness in, I'm not even sure where it was at, Afghanistan or Iraq or someplace, in the first Gulf War. He found himself with a person who was able to feed into his life a spiritual direction. And he was able to accept Christ in his life as his way of accomplishing some of coming to a better place. And he no longer then had a life of drugs or smoking or of any, you know, crowds with women, anything like on that line. He now had a life where he was addicted to something new. And that was, he was addicted to his life with Christ. And that then led him to a place where he was able to become a pastor and do some other things in his life and to, be addicted to good things and not bad things. And so that's one thing that you can think of about how you can transfer some of the bad habits you have in your life into better habits. And he began to understand how he could value relationships in a new way. He had a relationship with a pastor who he was able to spend a lot of time with and spoke into his life. He was able to develop healthy relationships and to be encouraged by other people. So with other things that he had to deal with. So that when he had a big health issue, a brain tumor and adrenal gland problems with cancer, he was in big trouble with his health, but he was able to have a great attitude of understanding his mantra, which is God's got this. God's got this. So what he did, if you go to his website, godsgotthis.love, that's the hashtag, God's got this. And so he understood then that it's a choice whether we live in joy or not. Happiness is a momentary thing, happenstance as it were. But joy is a state of being. You cannot have a state of unjoy. And living in joy makes all the difference. And so out of this, then, he is chosen then to speak in the lives of other people and to speak in the lives of people to help them to find a way. So he's written a book, God's Got This, and he has an online magazine, and he has other things in his life that he with online with mastermind groups and counseling and so on that he does. And that's what he does in order to speak into your life. And so I invite you to go to godsgotthis.love and check out all the things that Pastor Matt Klump has to offer, because it will help you, give you some great tools to overcome adversity in your life and to get on and to have a great opportunity to live in hope and in joy, not in defeat and depression. That's what we're here to do here at the Pathway to Promise, friends, is bring you great guests like Matt Klump in order to speak into your life. We're here for you. Pathwaypromise.com is where you can find everything about me, Brad Miller, and about what we offer here at pathwaypromise.com. It's also there where you can pick up our downloadable resource, a fill-in-the-blank resource where you can learn how to have a four-minute way to frame your day for success. We invite you to go over to pathwaypromise.com and pick up that resource. It's also helpful to you if you spread the good news about Pathway Promise. We are on iTunes and Stitcher, some other places where you can tune us in and to get some helpful things in your life. Because we're all about helping you to overcome adversity, to claim your promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and therefore to have more meaningfulness in your life. I'm Dr. Brad Miller. It's been a pleasure to be with you, and we look forward to being with you again on the Pathway to Promise. And remember to keep your promises, because there's power in a promise kept.
Thanks so much for taking the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. As a subscriber, you'll be a vital part of the Pathway to Promise community. Visit us on the web at pathwaypromise.com. Until next time, remember to stay on your Pathway to Promise.